Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. The Sunday before Passover on the Jewish calendar was a day of special meaning and even rejoicing. It was a day when the Jewish people went up to Jerusalem to gather together with their families to begin celebrating the most holy week of all the Jewish feasts, the Feast of Passover. But that Sunday before the Feast of Passover began was not only the start to the most holy week on the Jewish calendar, but it was also the day, according to Exodus chapter 12, when each family would select their lamb without spot or blemish to be their Passover lamb. The family was to keep this lamb and to care for it as a household until the Passover feast. Then on the 14th day of the month, they were to offer this lamb as a sin offering unto the Lord and spread the lamb's blood on the upper and side posts of their doors. This day, just a few days before the Feast of Passover, for the Jewish people was quite literally Lamb Selection Day. The Bible tells us that it was on this day, Lamb Selection Day, or what we today call Palm Sunday, or the Day of Triumphal Entry, that the true Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, God's Son, came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. By entering into Jerusalem in this way, Jesus was actually fulfilling what Zechariah in the Old Testament had promised over 500 years before even Christ was born. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey, and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. During Passover season, messianic hopes always ran high. But now with all the talk surrounding Jesus and then seeing Jesus entering into Jerusalem at the time of the Passover, it was almost at a feverish pitch. The word of the miracles of Jesus had been buzzing around all of Israel, and now here in Jerusalem, the people were talking of Jesus' most recent miracle that took place just outside of Jerusalem in Bethany, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And now here the people saw Jesus coming from the eastern side of the Mount of Olives, descending into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, just like the prophets had foretold. The book of Luke in chapter 19 tells us that when Jesus had come to this place near the Mount of Olives, coming from Bethany, that the whole multitude of the followers of Jesus began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. They began to shout out, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The book of Matthew also tells us that a very great multitude spread their garments in the way as Jesus approached, and others cut down palm branches from the trees. The palm branches were the symbol of Jewish freedom. And then they threw the palm branches down on the road, laying out a carpet of palm branches and robes for Jesus to enter in on, their proclaimed king. Then the multitude began to cry out loud, saying, "Hosanna," which means "save us" or "deliver us now." The people said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The Bible tells us that the Pharisees, not liking, of course, what the people were saying about Jesus and probably even fearing a riot and an encounter with the Roman soldiers, they sought to shut the people up. The religious rulers told Jesus to put a stop to what the people were saying and doing. But Jesus said, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones themselves would immediately cry out." You see, Jesus was saying that it was right for people to praise him because Jesus was indeed their coming king. Jesus was their promised Messiah, the Son of David, whom they have waited for all these years. But in the midst of all the celebration and praise to Jesus, the Gospel of Luke records a change of mood and Jesus' triumphal entry. The Bible says that when Jesus had come near to Jerusalem and when he beheld the city, that he looked and he wept over it. Jesus wasn't weeping for himself and what the people would do to him in less than a week. No, Jesus was weeping for Jerusalem, for God's covenant people, because this of all days, they had missed their day of visitation of truly understanding who Jesus is and why Jesus came. Jesus, while weeping, said, "If thou hast only known, even now at least, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." These prophetic words of Jesus have echoed down through the corridors of time because that is exactly what happened. Some years later, in AD 70, the Roman general Titus marched on Jerusalem with a vengeance to crush the Jewish heir of rebellion and revolt against Rome. The Roman soldiers ravaged such destruction upon the city like no other city on earth had ever endured. It was the most ghastly siege in all of history, with absolute stark famine and slaughter in the streets, stacking people up like fallen logs, including the children. The whole city and their holy temple was set ablaze with flames shooting everywhere, leaving nothing but destruction and burnt rubble. Jerusalem was totally destroyed, just as Jesus had predicted. Not one stone was left upon another. When the temple itself was set on fire, the Roman soldiers tore apart the stones to get the melted temple gold, scraping it off the stones, not leaving one stone upon the other. The menorah and other temple vessels were carried off to Rome in triumphal victory, and the treasury was looted and robbed. Jesus, looking into the future, knew that this day would come because his people had missed the whole point of his coming. The Jewish people not only misunderstood his time of his kingship, but they had also failed to recognize him as their only Savior from sin to be made right with God. Jesus came and entered Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day because Jesus was not only their king, their Messiah, but he also was God's chosen Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. In just a few days, Jesus would issue in a new covenant through his own blood by offering himself as a lamb for the final sacrifice for sin upon a cross, and then seal the eternal covenant of God by rising again on the third day. Now, through faith in him, both Jews and Gentiles alike can have the forgiveness of sins and have direct access to God, to be with God, and to be God's people dwelling with God forever. It's interesting that it was on this day, Lamb Selection Day, that Jesus wept for Jerusalem. Jesus wept for the Jewish people because they failed to recognize him on this day. But still today, the Jewish people do not weep for Jesus. They weep instead at the Wailing Wall for the destroyed temple to be rebuilt again. And one day the temple, the third temple, will be built again. But the question remains, why do the Jewish people still today not weep for their missed Messiah, the Lord Jesus, when he came? It's because the majority of the Jewish people today have yet to see that Jesus is the chosen Lamb of God from the foundation of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God, but his people and many other people around the world today, both Jews and Gentiles, have missed the message. They have missed him, and they have ultimately rejected him as their only Savior and Lord. We need to pray for the Jewish people and all the peoples of the world that they would soon come to see and know who Jesus is. For Jesus said, "You will not henceforth see me and see my face till you shall say, 'Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" And that's why Jesus wept. Jesus wept for those who would never know him and would choose instead to reject him. But there was another group of people who did want to know Jesus, and they followed him into the temple from the triumphal procession, and they praised Jesus by raising up their voices loud and long. Who were these people? It was the children. The children saw Jesus healing the blind and lame people in the temple. Everyone in the temple saw the wonderful things that Jesus had done, but the chief priests and the scribes rejected Jesus' messianic credentials that fulfilled the scriptures to a T. But the children accepted Jesus and welcomed him as their coming Messiah and sang praises to him, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The religious leaders were greatly annoyed and displeased, but Jesus wasn't. He welcomed the praise of these precious children. The religious leaders said, "Don't you hear what these are saying?" Notice they couldn't even bring themselves to call them children. Jesus said, "Yes, of course. Have you not read out of the mouth of babes and infants, 'Thou hast perfected praise'?" Jesus welcomed the praise of these children because they were praising him not for anything that they would get from Jesus or what Jesus would do for them, but the children were praising Jesus for who Jesus is, singing out perfect praise because God was revealing the truth of who Jesus is to them, that Jesus is the Son of the Highest, the Son of David, the one who came to save. Hosanna. The children in these short verses in Matthew 21 teach us two important truths. First, one can only praise Jesus when they first understand who Jesus truly is. God loves to hear the true praises of his people, but he closes his ear to hear the praises of those who do not truly know him and whose hearts are not right with him. The Bible says that God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And only when a person understands that Jesus is the true Son of God and that he has indeed come and by faith alone in him, can we have true eternal life. 1 John 5:20 says it like this, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given unto us understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." So until we first understand and believe in who Jesus truly is, we cannot truly praise him. But also here in this one verse, we see another truth, and that is that children can know the truth of who Jesus is. You see, it's not the smartest or the oldest or the most elite or well-read or the scholarly educated who most often know the truth of who Jesus is or even the great truths of the Bible. It is for those who receive God's truth like children, because it is God who reveals the truth to them about who he is. That is what Jesus had said earlier in Matthew chapter 18 about children and their ability to truly believe and to be converted. "Verily I say unto you," said Jesus, "except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then just a couple verses later, Jesus said, "These little ones which believe in me." But this is not only what Jesus had to say about children and their spiritual conversion by faith, but this is also what Jesus had said to Peter on the day that Jesus changed Peter's name to the rock. Jesus had asked his disciples a question, "Whom do people say that I am?" The disciples then proceeded to give Jesus a list of wrong, off-base answers based on human reasoning and logic and popular opinion polls. But then Jesus asked them a personal, pointed question, "But whom do you say that I am?" Perhaps there was first a silence, but then Simon Peter soon spoke up, like he often did. But this time, Peter was right on. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But before Peter could feel too many pats on his back for his great spiritual insight, Jesus was quick to say, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You see, Peter didn't know who Jesus was because he figured it out and put the pieces together, and neither did Peter know who Jesus was because he understood all the scriptures and their specific prophecies about the coming Messiah. Rather, Peter knew who Jesus was because God the Father had revealed it to him. And that is how everyone comes to Christ, through God the Father drawing them unto himself and through the Holy Spirit revealing to them the truth of who Jesus is, and that includes children too. A Christian educator once said, "If you doubt a child's ability to communicate to the Father, don't doubt God's ability to communicate to the child." The late Dr. Francis Schaeffer said it like this, "The greatest reason for my belief that little children can really understand the vital truths of the gospel is that I believe in the Holy Spirit's ministry to communicate the message of salvation and sanctification to them." And then he went on to say, "There is no adult, however intelligent, who can understand the gospel without the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit." And that's why the children could praise Jesus, because they understood who Jesus is, because God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, had perfected their true praise and belief in God's only Son. Today, there are children and people all around the world who still need to understand who Jesus is. And we can trust that as we go and proclaim the gospel, declaring the truth that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that we do not do this on our own strength and our own power, but God promises that he will, by his Spirit and by the promise of the Father, go before us and reveal the truth of the gospel to them of who Jesus is, just like he did with those children in Jesus' day. Today at our CF office, a little child of 2 or 3 came in with his mommy and excitedly told us about a little lamb that he had seen and petted on a farm. That little lamb must have made such an obvious impression on this little boy, because you could see it on his face and the way he talked about that precious little lamb. This Easter season, we need to remember that this special week is all about God's little lamb, God's own Son, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. God wants us to grow in our understanding more and more of who Jesus is. Then because we know and believe who Jesus is, God wants us to lift up our hearts and voices and praise to him, praise to the Lamb, just like those children did so long ago, in perfect praise. But we are never to keep this wonderful message to ourselves. God wants us to go and tell others, people big and small and those near and far, so that they too may say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope that you have a wonderful Easter season as we remember that it's all about the Lamb, and that we would sing together with all of God's children for all eternity, "For worthy is the Lamb."
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. Tell me.